Welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And this week I'm here with one of two of Moog and Angie in the mornings in Seattle. Hello, Moog. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm chilling. You have like a full-blown board next to you. Is that a working board?
Well, it's a full-on board. Working is not maybe an accurate statement. A lot of guys have like cars and stuff. I've got a couple of boards. I have like an old school Pacific Research, the big cream yellow ones.
Oh my gosh.
I have one of those in storage, and then I have this, and I've just been like working on cleaning it up. And like I'm kind of techie, but not the most techie. And so it has been in this state of disarray with just like wires and stuff for a while
I
in my
love
guest
that
bedroom.
it exists there, though. I love that
Yeah.
it's just there.
Yeah. At the very least, it's like cosmetically fun. And at one point I got the VU meters working. And so it was
Whoa.
fun to see the old school meters like that,
That's
moving
super
forward once
cool.
again. But yeah, so it's like our guest bedroom slash my studio, and so I do some voice tracking and stuff from home from my computer, but I don't actually use the board. One day I will, but that's a journey on its own.
It's so cool, though. I love it. I love it. Speaking of radio, we'll jump right into it. This is a little bit different than normal because we started out in the same city as far as our radio journeys go. Tell me a little bit about everything that has led you up to you going into Seattle.
So to get to where I am now, right now I'm in Seattle, hosting Moog and Angie Mornings with Angie Morales on Star 101.5. Here she is from Vegas as well. She's native, born and raised Vegas. I moved to Vegas. I was born in Anaheim. My family moved to Vegas when I was like 4 or 5. And so while I guess I wasn't born in Vegas, I very much consider myself like a Vegas native because I don't remember life before that. I went to El Dorado High School on the east side of Vegas, and I had an opportunity when I was in school there. There's this like old computer lab that was behind the library, and I was in there with a friend, and on the wall, remember like in the schools there were just it would say like cafeteria or it would say like library. Would inside this computer room there were two other rooms, and one said TV and one said radio. And this was when I was in 10th grade, and I was like, what the hell is that? And I said, did they have a radio station at the school at some point? And somebody was like, yeah, I think back in like the 70s or 80s they might have. And I graduated in 2004, so this is about 2002. And I said, well, I want to do that. So I got into that room and I looked in the cabinet. So El Dorado was the Sun Devils, right? And somebody had written years prior KDVL, which was obviously like K Devil. And I was like, oh, we should bring back K Devil Radio. So me and my friend Andy, he had been like DJing like high school band parties and like things on that level. Like he had some equipment and stuff, and so we went and found the principal of the school, and we said, we have a proposition for you. Can we put together a radio program? Not like a radio station with a broadcast tower or anything like that, but can we play music and entertain people at lunch? And the principal at the time said, you know what? By all means. He goes, this is what I want you to do, though. Set it all up and then let me hear what it sounds like. So in the summer of 2002, me and my friend Andy got a bundle of speaker wire and ran wire from this room by the library through the ceiling, the drop ceiling, all the way to the cafeteria. And we made like a radio program. And we got a couple of CD players and a mixer. And we were just playing all the songs that were like big at the time. And one of the things that they told us is they said, there can't be any songs that have anything to do with sex. And we're like, oh, okay. While we're having this conversation, we're playing 112 Peaches and Cream over like the loudspeaker in the cafeteria, and it was just on repeat to show him like what it's going to sound like. And that song is wonderfully coded sexual. And we're like, oh, okay. And so that was that. So my junior and senior year in high school, I got to do, basically I got to have both lunches and hang out in the radio room. And we had like these interns that we would make them go get like our food for us and stuff. And, you know, it was great. And on my high school transcript, I have 2 years of photography because there wasn't a radio class. And I got an A in photography, and I know nothing about photography other than what I can do with my phone. But, so that was kind of how I got, like my initial start, and like, it grew my excitement. I had interest in radio before, but that was like, what kind of did it for me. But then I went to UNLV, and I'm sorry if I'm too tangential in this, but that was, you know, I think kind of a fun memory for me for how it started. But I graduated in 04 and I went to UNLV, and I'd originally gone for film, and I was kind of lost, and I was in the UNLV band, and I wasn't really into the film thing. I wasn't doing well at UNLV. I was just kind of distracted. I mean, I was 18 years old. Like, your brain is, you know,
yep.
Not that peaches functional. And cream. Yeah. And so, yeah. At that age. Yeah. It's peaches and cream. And so I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, "You're so into radio. Why don't you just do radio?" And I remember thinking like, no, that's a pipe dream. I felt like radio was like saying that I want to be Brad Pitt, or saying that I wanted to be a NASA astronaut. I thought that's way too like out of the realm of possibilities. And my friend was like, "I think that you'd be great at it. You're like obsessed with it." And I was like, "I don't know." So I waited a couple of years. And so it was actually 2006 when I said, "Why don't I just try it?" And so I applied at 98.5 KLUC CBS Radio in Las Vegas in 2006, right around my birthday that year, right around my 20th birthday. And I applied for a job on the street team, and I thought, well, if I get on the street team, maybe I could see what the people on the weekend do. And I, you know, badgered the promotions director at the time. His name was Baby Dave, David Abenahar. He was the promotions director of KLUC. And back then, every station, you know, that cluster with KLUC and Mix, yeah, and X107.5 was there. Back then, every station had their own promotions director full-time. Every station had their own assistant promotions director, and every station had their own street team. And growing up in Vegas, I loved KLUC. It's obviously the top 40 station for Vegas, and it was like, you know, the biggest deal ever. And so finally one day, Baby Dave called me, and I was badgering. I was calling, I was emailing, and finally he said, "Well, John, your persistence has paid off. We'd like to invite you to be on the street team for KLUC." So I got in there. And he said, "See, what do you ultimately want to do?" And I felt so stupid saying out loud. I was like, "Well, I mean, I'm 20 years old," and I was like, "I kind of would like to be, you know, on the air with like the other guys," and you know, and what an intimidating time this was for me. I'm 20 years old, okay, and all of a sudden I'm on the street team, and I'm wanting to do what Chet Buchanan does, what JB King does, Mr. Bob used to be the night guy on KLUC. And I'm wanting to like fit in with those people. And they, to me, they were Chet and Spence and, you know, Lauren and JB and all those guys were in my world. They were A-list celebrities. So it was so intimidating going into that situation. But at the same time, everybody was so welcoming. And that's one thing that I think radio people get to know. And I'm sure, you know, it's the same across media, is when you find somebody that has that love or that passion, then you're like, yeah, I'll share everything I know with you. Like, if you're interested in this and in learning about radio, I'll share everything. And that's what they did with me. And there were some hard lessons learned along the way. I think I grew a lot. I probably am still immature, but I used to be so immature. And I think probably be a somewhat problematic person, but it was, you know, part of the growing process. And so I did street team, I did part-time on air, eventually I had an opportunity to do overnights full-time. I did that for about a year before nights opened up in 2009. I got pulled in, was told I was going to be the new night guy on KLUC, and I was like, this is wild. Did that for a total of 6 years with a quick stop in between. In 2000 2011, Cox launched Hot 101.5 in Tampa Bay, and I went out there to be the first night guy on that station. I was there for 3 months. It was a bad time in my life. One, I was moody. I was going through a breakup, and I also was having some, I think, kind of personality clashes with, some of the people there. And I was just so young and maybe angry to some degree at what I was, kind of going through, because it was all this change. Like I said, I grew up in Vegas. It was all this change at once. I was going through this breakup. I was homesick, and for better or worse, I quit that job. And I think there's always a part of me that goes, what would have happened if I didn't bail on that? But since that, so many wonderful things happened after leaving there. I went back to Vegas and I did nights for 3 more years. And then I went to Denver and I had my first crack at doing mornings. That was country mornings. Learned, oh, I'm not a country guy. This probably isn't the best move for me, but it was Denver. And so that was fun. Then yeah. I went back to Vegas. I did afternoons for 2 years. And then I had an opportunity to go to work at 91X in San Diego. And it was great. It was San Diego, which is, an amazing city. But better than that, I had an opportunity to learn from Tracy Johnson, who's one of the best morning show coaches that there is. So I went out there, I learned from him, put together a show, was there for about a year and a half. I got let go from that job. And it was probably the best career thing that ever happened to me, because I was able to go out there and I was able to learn from Tracy Johnson and gather up all that information, make some mistakes, have my first shot doing mornings. And then I got let go and I went, uh-oh, what am I going to do from here? At that point, we're talking fall 2019. I get a message on Facebook from the OM at Town Square Media in Boise, and the OM says, hey, would you like to come out here and do mornings, our hot AC Mix 106? And I said, sure. So I went out there and interviewed, did that whole process, went to work for Town Square. At that point, once I got to Boise, that's when I was able to bring Angie in with me. And that's when my, career path went from like, all right, I've got, my side of things figured out, but ultimately I want to do mornings. I need a teammate that I can do this show with. Yeah. And Angie and I had met several years prior, and we knew from the beginning that we clicked real well. And I even tried to bring her to a couple of places with me, and she didn't have traditional radio experience at that point. And so people were a little like, I don't know. But I knew that she was a character. And yeah. I thought, if I could bring her into Boise. So I brought her to Boise. We started doing that show together. It was a year and a half before we were able to make the move together to Seattle. And then we've really been able to, keep moving forward since being here. And so, while I wasn't initially excited about the idea of going to Boise, it was a fun, a couple of years there. I was able to get Angie in and then ultimately bring her with me to Seattle. And so there's been a lot of moving. And I think to some degree, as if you want to make it into radio, sometimes you got to make some sacrifices. And I am, knock on wood, so beyond lucky. My wife moved to San Diego and then she moved to Boise with me and moved to Seattle and gets it. And Angie moved from Vegas to Boise to Seattle, and her family has supported her and gotten it. And so I think really lucky in that way, because I've told my wife before, like, at any point you want to say, hey, we've done so much for your career. We got to prioritize my, she's a doctor, she's a psychologist. Like, she has high level education. And so, the lucky thing for her is that you can mostly do psychology anywhere. Where radio, there's only a few jobs in each town, and then there's only a few formats that even make sense once you get to each of those towns. And so I'm really lucky in that sense. But now, that's how I've made my way to morning radio in Seattle, and we've been pretty successful here.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's balance each other out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if you were given the chance, you could go back in time. What is something that you would tell younger you, younger Moog?
I would say, as cliche as it sounds, patience is a virtue. And maybe I still haven't completely learned that lesson. But there was so much time in my life, especially there in the beginning, where I was so obsessed with like finding the next thing, that I wasn't allowing myself the time to grow what I was doing. I remember when I was doing nights in Vegas, Cat Thomas was my PD, and I went in there and I was like, "Hey, Cat, you know, I'm thinking I could use about $10,000 more." And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking around and you hear these rumors, right? You hear, "Oh, well, you know, I heard that this person makes this much. I heard that this person makes that much." And I thought, well, what I do isn't that different than what they do. And so I went in there and I was like, I think I want some more money. And I remember Kat saying to me, I think I was like 23. He goes, "Let me tell you something. Your 20s are about learning and not necessarily about making money. It's about learning life lessons and making mistakes. Your 30s, you're a little bit more solid in your career and you start to make some money. And then your 40s, you should really be making some money." And I remember walking out of there mad. And I was like, that's just his way of telling me I'm not giving you a raise. And maybe to some degree it was. But you know what? The valuable lesson there that I did learn is there is something to that. There is something to being patient, putting in your time. I know that's annoying when you're like, "Oh, I've been on the air for 2 or 3 years. Why am I not making $100,000 a year yet?" It's not time yet. Imagine if everybody who started in radio in 2 years was making six figures, then everybody would be doing it, right? It's something that takes a little bit more time. So I would tell myself that patience is a virtue and stick things out, you know, and just work hard. And I guess to some degree I did that. I just have never been as patient as I wish I was. And, you know, I think it's so valuable for people who want to be successful in media to make connections. And, you know, sometimes I'll reach out to people and go, "Hey," literally I'll say, "I just want to make sure you know I exist. Make sure you know who I am." So just sending you some audio. This is, you know, this is my show. This is what we're up to. And however you got to do to go about it, because the ways of making that happen have just changed so much, especially in the last decade or so. So props to you for doing what you're doing. Props to Sean, you know, for, you know, killing it in Vegas. And, you know, and, you know, I think if you work hard and you network and you're good with people, then you can make it far in this industry.
What are you a nerd about?
This may surprise you. I am a nerd about everything Titanic.
You're right. It does surprise me. What? Like Titanic, like the ship that sank?
Yeah. It was a thing that started as a kid. I was fascinated by that movie, and I have just for, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years, gone down the rabbit hole of wanting to learn things about Titanic. So I follow all these like Titanic things on Instagram. I've gone down the wormhole of Titanic conspiracy theories before. And there's one big one about how the Titanic was actually not the ship that sunk, that it was its sister ship. Have you heard this before?
Yes. Yes. I followed the TikToks.
Yeah. And I don't know that there's any merit to that, but at the very least, it's fascinating. But that's something that probably would surprise people that I was a nerd about.
I am shooketh.
You assumed I was going to say radio, which fair, but that's not surprising.
Well, not necessarily radio, more specifically, like the techie side of radio is what I was expecting, because in, you know, we can see it's true. All right. Show that you're binge watching.
I guess what comes to mind, just because it came back, is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I think that Rachel Brosnahan is hilarious and stupid hot in that show, in like a 1950s, 1960s kind of way. So I'm into that. A year ago, I was way into Peaky Blinders. So I guess it just depends on the time, but.
Okay.
Yeah, my interests vary.
I mean, you see, with what you're telling me, and even the shows you're binge watching, it's like a hopeless romantic type of ordeal.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so you got a theme going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best concert you've seen to date?
Eminem and Rihanna, the Monster Tour at the Rose Bowl. This is maybe 2013 or 14, something like that. Was a great show.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Wow. And then final question. If you could make your own music festival, make it and attend it, I guess. Who would be at it? Who would be performing?
Well, my wife is a super adult Swiftie, so I would have to have Taylor Swift, and by proxy, I think I've really become a Swiftie. I would say Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, Ed Sheeran. And I know this is random, but I grew up in the 90s, and it would not fit with the rest of this lineup, but Bone Thugs and Harmony was like my ish when I was a kid. And so that would be it would be a weird festival, but that would be it.
Moog, where can people find you on social?
I'm on Instagram at John Moog, JohnMoug. Same on Facebook. And then our morning show stuff is all Moog and Angie, Moug and Angie on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. And find Angie too. She's a riot.